Thanks, Pastor Matthew. It's a blessing to be up here tonight, really is. Yeah, I'm usually over there at the piano with my back to you all, so it's obviously a lot different having to face people. But no, my prayer tonight is that we'd all be blessed from God's word and that we'd all be encouraged from the word of God tonight. And certainly that the Holy Spirit would be the one that guides us tonight and perhaps even convicts us to have a closer walk with God. So please take your Bibles and turn them to Hebrews chapter 3. I actually couldn't go past Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, so if you'd allow me tonight, to read just two small passages from both chapters. So Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. The word of God says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are all made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now please jump down to verse 11 of that chapter. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. And may God bless his reading to our hearts. Let's pray before we begin. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time. I just thank you for the freedom that we have to open your word. And I just pray that we would be encouraged as we look into your word. And may we be attentive to what you have to say to us tonight. May the Holy Spirit be the one that speaks to our hearts. And I just pray that you'd give me the right words to say with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to talk about a matter of unbelief, or the matter of unbelief that we've just read regarding the Israelites in the wilderness. If you haven't picked that out already, that's what we read in Hebrews chapter 3. Now, of course, unbelief has to do with our faith, or our lack of faith. You don't have to study the Bible for very long before becoming aware of the importance of faith. For starters, a sinner cannot be saved apart from faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by what? By faith, we then have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, the Bible here in Hebrews chapter 4 unifies faith with rest. It unifies faith with the term rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. And in verse 9 it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's interesting though, because the word of God also mentions that we need to labour to enter into this rest. And we can see that pretty clearly in verse 11. Let us labour therefore to enter into this rest. You know, having faith can sometimes be easier said than done. You know, we as Christians, you know, faith is a common thing to us as Christians. It can be easier said than done. However, we always need to labour in the Christian life and in every aspect, certainly. But in this case, we need to labour to enter into God's divine rest, as it says in these verses. So firstly, again, we know a lot about faith, but I'd like to start off by saying faith is personal. Now, we all know that, but faith is something that's personal between me and God and between you and God. For example, I have complete faith in my doctor. Okay, that's just an example. If I go to the doctor when I'm sick, I trust him with whatever problem I have. I never trust him once and then doubt him the next, and I'm sure you can, if you think about it. We never really doubt what our doctor has to say for us. Of course, we know that our doctor knows what he's doing and knows what he's saying. So in the Bible, faith is a personal confidence, you might say, in the Lord. Someone said about faith, he said, learn to pray in such a way that you are trusting him, that is God, as your physician, to do what he knows is best. Confess to him the disease and let him choose the remedy. Now, it's pretty simple, but really that's, I think, faith simplified. But to be faithful to our God doesn't only just mean just to trust him in the little things, if you can say it that way, but it means to be devoted to him, just like we are devoted to our doctor's judgments. Again, we don't just go to our doctor once in our life. We do go to our doctor when we're sick, you know, who knows how many times in our life, to get his advice, obviously, and to get medicine, whatever. We need to be devoted to God, and sometimes we forget about that. We need to really be devoted to him. However, are we always devoted to our Lord? Well, that's the question I'd like us to perhaps consider tonight. Well, in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, the author, he refers to the Israelites' unbelief in the wilderness. We read in Hebrews that their unbelief caused a real grief to God, and that there were great consequences that they had to face because of their unbelief. That is, they failed to enter into the promised land and just perished in the wilderness, as it says in verse 17, their carcasses just fell in the wilderness. That's the language that's used there. And our unbelief today can also cause a real grief to our Lord, and the consequences for our unbelief could potentially be God withdrawing perhaps some sort of blessing from our lives, just like he withdrew great blessing from his people in the wilderness. So let's look into Hebrews tonight and see what principles we can apply from the example of the Israelites, and certainly how we can claim the rest that God is providing us. So I have 3 points tonight. The first point is attend to today. Attend to God's rest today. So in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, notice that this small passage, or most of it is in brackets. This is taken from the Psalms, Psalm 95. And then from verse 12, where there's no longer brackets, this is sort of like now a warning for us today. And of course, the psalmist got the example of the Israelites from Exodus, obviously. So verse 7 and 8, we'll start with that. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So we come across the word provocation. Now, what does provocation mean? Well, we can easily see the word provoke in there. So quite simply, it means to make someone angry. That's the word provocation there. And we can read about this again in Exodus chapter 17, verse 2. It says, wherefore the people, the Israelites, did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide with me? Wherefore or why do ye tempt the Lord?" So the Israelites provoked Moses to anger with their complaining in the wilderness. And if we think back to the story that we know so well in the Old Testament, the Israelites had just miraculously been rescued from Egypt. You know, God took them out of Egypt and pretty much straight into the wilderness. And if that's not great enough for God to take them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, they had experienced great signs and wonders in the wilderness, which should have encouraged them to trust God even more. For example, as we know, the parting of the Red Sea, you know, how amazing must that have been. Really, we couldn't really imagine what that would have looked like. Of course, the pillar of fire by night, cloud by day to guide them through the wilderness, because you don't really have anything else to guide you. You don't have food either. Manna from heaven was provided. These are miraculous works of God to his people to really prove to them that, you know, he's in control. But of course, the Israelites, they went against logic, really. That's what they did. And they turned against Moses and they tested God's patience. And, you know, we in a similar way today can perhaps delay to acknowledge the Lord, even after already seeing his mighty hand in our lives already. Not quite, how can you say, supernaturally like he did with the Israelites, but certainly we can see God's mighty hand in our lives. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And the Old Testament also says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." Why? "For consider how great things he hath done for you." And that should be our attitude towards God. We should serve him because he's done so much for us. God keeps us safe, whether we take it for granted or not. God keeps us healthy, whether we take it for granted or not. God showers us with blessings and unexpected blessings, whether we take it for granted or not. I think of two dear people in our church that were in a car accident last month over Christmas, and God spared them, really. That's what he did. He kept them safe. And whether we thank him for it, well, that's a different thing. We'll get to that soon. But the fact of the matter is that God does take care of us, just like he was taking care of his people in the wilderness. May we be thankful to the Lord, yes. May we be thankful to our Lord for the many little things that he bestows upon us every single day. And most importantly, may we attend to today, as you know, the Word of God says. And may we not harden our hearts to the voice of the Lord. May we be in the Word daily so that God's voice can be clear to us. And this is vitally important. As Pastor Matthews preached last Sunday, being in the Word is probably more important than we think. We will never know God's will for our lives if we don't look into his Word and obey his words to us and rely on the promises that he gives us already. If we think back to the Israelites again, you know, they were probably asking, they were essentially asking, you know, "God, what's your will for my life? You know, what are we doing in the wilderness? You know, we'd rather be back in Egypt with, you know, the food and things like that." That's what we read in the Bible. But the way we can apply that today is that his answer for all of our needs is in his Word. It's right there. However, the problem is that we sometimes find it hard to believe the promises of the Bible, just like the Israelites struggled. We struggle today as well in our own way. We may even think that if we had a supernatural experience with God, say, like the signs and wonders of the Israelites in the wilderness, we would believe. You know, if only I had that clear sign from God, you know, I would believe. That could be our attitude sometimes. However, again, you know, the Israelites had signs and wonders and they didn't believe. So that's not the case. The truth is that our hearts are, like the hymn says, they're prone to wander. That's the issue. The issue isn't a lack of God's faithfulness, but it's a lack of our belief. Again, the truth is that we don't need more evidence that God is faithful or some new revelation. We need to act on what he has already taught us in his word. It's as simple as that. You know, God doesn't work on our schedule. The Israelites, again, they were thinking, God, what are you doing? You know, we've been in the wilderness for years and years and years. But God doesn't work on our schedule. He works on his schedule, obviously. But that doesn't mean, just because he's not working on our schedule, that doesn't mean he isn't working at all, obviously. What waited the Israelites? Well, the promised land. It was always waiting for them, but they instead went in front of God with their complaining. In his timing, we will see the fullness of his promises that he gives us in his word. And though we'll never have perfect faith, we should always follow the faith that we already have. Well, attending to today also means to attend to promptly or quickly. You know, if you attend to today, it means quickly. Now, verse 12, if you look there, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, notice there's no longer brackets, so now there's a warning for us, I guess, if you can think about it that way. Verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Take heed. Those are two words that really stood out to me in my study for tonight. You know, we here in this church, you know, we're led really in a blessed way by faithful men and women over the years. And, you know, thankfully we're led well. And, you know, that's something that I've been pondering on the last several weeks. But we still need to take heed as the Bible is exhorting us to tonight. If we think about it another way, you know, some of us may have relatives, even as close as a brother or sister, son or daughter, a father or mother, who have unfortunately perhaps departed from the living God, as it says in verse 12. And in all honesty, it can happen to any of us unless we take heed. Again, as we've briefly seen, unbelief is a very serious thing. Really, God takes it very, very seriously. And as we've read just very briefly, skimmed over the story of the Israelites, God takes unbelief very seriously. And we need to make sure that we not only attend today, but we attend promptly. We attend promptly. Not only do we need to attend to promptly, but we need to attend to God's rest purposefully. In verse 14 it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." We should attend to God with purpose and with true dependence upon him in any circumstance in our lives. Of course, many of us run to him when we're desperate or when we're in trouble. But verse 14 says that we are made partakers of Christ. We're made partakers of Christ. We are not only Christ's servants and Christ's workers, which is still, you know, blessed privilege, but we're also his children. And children, like children in an earthly family, partake of family privileges, which can be a blessing. So we are also partakers of glorious privileges in Christ, much better privileges in Christ. Psalm 73, verse 24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel here on earth, and afterward receive me to glory." That's what we get being in the family of God. Romans 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." They're encouraging verses, really they are. "Therefore we should be steadfast unto the end," as it says at the end of verse 14. You know, these few verses that I've just read should be motivation for us to be steadfast. To be steadfast unto the end. To be confident. To be steadfast unto the end. You know, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, what do we have? We have an eternal security in Christ. We have a home in heaven waiting for us. Again, we know these things, but you know, may I encourage you tonight. Our eternal security should be enough reason for us to put our faith in a living and loving God, our Heavenly Father. You know, there's great examples of fathers on this earth who love their children and really, imitate our Lord. But how much more would our Heavenly Father, does our Heavenly Father love us and have in store for us? I'm reminded of Pastor Matthews saying last year or the year before, live with eternity in mind. And he probably didn't say it as much, but I just remember him saying it. Live with eternity in mind. And it's so simple, but it's very, very important. And if we do live with eternity in mind, then really our focus really should be really on the Lord, really, if we live every day with eternity in mind. So that was number one, attend to today. Number two, admonish today. Admonish today. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today. There are those words again. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So admonish daily. That's what I'd like to encourage you all in tonight. How often is Christ in our conversations? This is something that I guess I struggle with, I guess. I'm all for talking about, like, sport, the news, whatever. But how often do we encourage one another to live for Christ and to keep on going for Him? Verse 13, it's pretty clear. We need to admonish one another daily. Okay, daily. We need to encourage one another in Christ, of course, in our faith. But not only do we need to encourage one another, just leave it at that, but we need to encourage or admonish, exhort one another as unto a brother or sister, of course, in the family of Christ. Verse 14, again, says, for we are made partakers of Christ. For we, together, are made partakers of Christ. Of course, we're all in the family of Christ, and we are all, again, partakers of Christ together. Therefore, we're all brothers and sisters under one blood, the same blood that has washed us from all our sins. Just thinking about it, that's just an amazing thought, that, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us from every corner of the globe together into one family, and therefore we're brother and sister in the Lord. Admonish one another, of course, not only as friends, but again as precious brothers and sisters in Christ. And may we help each other in our walk with Christ. If we think about it this way, it would be a pity if we didn't do this. And as a result, perhaps a fellow brother or sister to fall astray just because we weren't there or we weren't encouraging. And that can be a sad thing. May you be encouraged to in our conversations, because we're very close as a church, certainly, but may Christ be in our conversations by way of encouragement to others. So number three, we'll move on to point number three. First one was attend to today, admonish today, and thirdly, approach today. Finally, to approach God's rest today. Let's look into chapter 4 of Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, pretty similar to the first point, we need to approach quickly. I just wanted to use two different words. We have to approach promptly. We need to approach quickly. So it's pretty similar to what I made in my first point. Approach quickly, and we can see that in verse 11. We need to labour, again, like I started with. We need to labour, therefore, to enter into the rest that God provides. May I encourage you to be diligent every day to enter into the rest that God always provides his children. But how can we approach quickly? That's something that I'd like us to think about now. How can we approach quickly? And why is the Word of God in a way exhorting us to really to go to God quickly. Why? Why do we need to do that? In fact, how can we approach quickly? We most probably know why. How can we approach the God quickly? Well, quite simply by getting into the Bible quickly. I believe this is important, as I've already mentioned. We need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in this regard, lest we fall into sin. And in chapter 3, we read that sort of thing. But exhort one another daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. Chapter 4, let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall. Where am I? sin life at the door. That's something that we know, and this phrase, or this short phrase here, sin life at the door, comes from the Old Testament in Genesis, even before Exodus, even before we start reading about the naughty Israelites. Sin lies at the door, and that's been the case right throughout the history of mankind. This is why now we should approach quickly, because sin does lie at the door. We need to approach quickly. We need to approach also courageously. Courageously we need to approach to God's rest. You know, this is where true faith is put into action. When we cast all of our care upon Him. Again, you know, we can many times, you know, hear a lot of talk, you know, about, you know, trust in the Lord, you know, be faithful. But really, it only matters when it's put into action. Really, that's when it matters, because otherwise it doesn't really matter. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. And what's the result? He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. So in a way, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, put God's word to the test. You know, always put it to the test. But really, we know that God will always provide. But we need to be courageous to trust in the Lord and put His word to the test and the promises that He gives us to the test. The buckler, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. A buckler is just another word for a round shield. And yes, He will certainly defend us. He will certainly defend us once we put our faith into action. He's just waiting for us to put our faith into action. A common reason as to why we need our faith so desperately is so that we can know the will of God for our lives, even on a daily basis. And certainly people who are younger like me, you know, we're at a stage in life where we're looking for the will of the Lord. You know, we're diligently seeking what God's will is. But certainly for all of us here tonight, you know, no matter where we're at in life, we need God's will on a daily basis. We need to be seeking God's will on a daily basis. Pastor Matthew just mentioned about the crows. They're probably in a state where they daily need to seek out God. Like, Lord, what's Your will for today? They wouldn't know what's going to happen, perhaps, on a daily basis, and not even then, in Syria as well, really, in many, many places in the world. We need our faith so that we can know God's will for our lives. And it can be tempting sometimes to try and find out His will our own way. And that might sound funny, to find out His will our way. Of course, again, that's silly. We need to find out His will His way. And that's something that, you know, I've been convicted in my life, that I need to find out His will His way. And we can sometimes catch ourselves out in unbelief in this regard. This can be unbelief if we're not seeking God's will in the right way. Yes, we must trust and trust and trust again in God. However, another question, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Again, people, you know, you hear people say, you know, trust in God, trust in God. But what does it mean, really? What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Again, going back to the Word of God, it means to trust the Word that He has given us, the Word of God. The very Word of God. Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll see what Jesus has to say Himself about this. John chapter 15, verse 7. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." If ye abide in him and my... If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. What words are they? Well, they're the words of the Bible. And my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But does it really mean that we can ask whatever we want and God's going to give it to us? No. If we're truly, exhorted last Sunday, I don't know if that's the right word, we need to soak ourselves in the Word of God. And once we do that, of course our motives are going to be only righteous, the Holy Spirit would truly be the one that has control of our lives. So that's why Jesus says we can ask whatever we will only if my words abide in you. The Word of God is quick and powerful, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word, again, is very, very important. A man put it this way. He said about faith. He said, "Faith is not based on what we wish would happen. Faith is not blindly declaring that something is going to occur and then waiting on God to deliver whatever we ask. Faith is not even based on our hopes for the future," because it's not about us. What's genuine faith then? Genuine faith is based on the promises of God. The unfailing, unchanging word of God. That's what our faith should be based on. There is nothing else on which we can rely because nothing else is perfect. End of quote. Sorry, I added a few words in that quote. Yes, faith is based on the Bible and nothing else. And therefore, God's will for our lives is based on the Bible and nothing else. This is really the way we should be thinking about faith and God's will for our lives. How important then is this book for our lives then? Okay, after what I've said so far, it's vitally important. Vitally important. And again, we've already been encouraged about that last Sunday morning. I guess it's the theme of the hour. God's word is very important. And, you know, if you haven't gotten a Bible plan that Pastor Matthew's sort of brandished last Sunday, please take one, because it's only a help. It's only a help. You don't have to use it to read the Bible, but definitely any help to us really is welcome, especially to me. We need to be in God's Word, and that's what, you know, I want to encourage you in tonight. God's Word is very important. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll finish with this passage tonight. And we'll see what Peter has to say about the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start at verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. This is Peter speaking, and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know, of course, we know the Bible never changes. And it has everything that God knew that we would need for our lives. And this, I'm talking about throughout history. It has everything that God knew we would need for our lives. Many people may wish for miraculous visions or voices to find God's will. But his plan is quite simple. And it's for us to find our guidance through the indwelling Holy Spirit, working through what? The Word of God in our hearts. As we read the Bible, again, we have all the information we need to choose to walk in God's path. We don't need some outside sign to follow, but rather to fill our minds and to fill our hearts with the truth of the word and then simply obey it. But again, it's easier said than done. We need to labor to do this. Because the Bible is divinely inspired, as Peter says here, rather than produced by men, it's therefore stable and completely without error. It's completely without error. We can always trust what it says. Again, this is God's word to us. God is perfect, and therefore his word is perfect. It's got no error at all. And, you know, we know that the word of God also says in James chapter 1, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," what's the result? "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh how? By hearing hearing by the word of God." Okay? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's how faith comes. So, again, it's the theme of the hour, as it seems. May I encourage you to be in the word daily, so that our faith will be strengthened daily. If we're weary in well-doing and in our faith, well, we need to go to this book even more. And again, we're just so, well, I'm so, you know, caught up, you know, God, what's your will for me at this time? You know, I'm not sure, you know, I'm stuck, and I haven't even gone to the book. It's very vitally important for our lives to soak, again, our lives with the Word of God. To avoid unbelief, we need to have our faith increased. And to have our faith increased, you know, we can only increase our faith in the Word of God. So, again, may I encourage you, especially this year as we've, you know, recently entered a new year, to make it a priority to read the Word of God, not because we'd become super Christians if we do, but because we need the Word of God. We don't read the Word of God so, like, for any other reason, really. We read the Word of God so we can hear God's voice, and therefore we can know His will, and therefore we can have our faith in general in our lives increase, no matter what stage of life we're at, because we need faith. We need faith, and we need God's Word to increase that faith. Amen. That's all I have tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I just thank you for what you give us in your word, and I just thank you for the faith that you give us, and I just pray that this year that you would increase our faith, and while you're increasing our faith, I pray that we'd be found in your word on a daily basis, so that that may be so. I just pray that we'd all be an encouragement to one another about this, and we'd certainly help each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. In this area, as it's very important in the Christian life. Just pray that you'd be with us for the rest of this week, and indeed for the rest of our lives. And I pray that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.